When the lights go out, they speak. The vanished, the cursed, the cruel. Their echoes live here. I'm Raven Vale, and you've just crossed the threshold. Welcome to Whispers from the Dark. The Devil's Contagion, the possession of David Glatzel. The darkness gathers, and with it, the whispers. I'm Raven Vale, and this is Whispers from the Dark. Tonight, we journey to a place of suburban tranquility, a quiet New England town where life unfolded with predictable rhythms. We are heading to Brookfield, Connecticut, in the summer of 1980. Here, in a seemingly idyllic home, an unseen evil began to stir, claiming a young, innocent soul as its initial victim, and ultimately setting off a chain of horrifying events that would culminate in murder, an unprecedented legal defense, and a chilling question about the very nature of demonic contagion. This is the harrowing, real-life story of David Glatzel, the boy at the heart of the Exorcist III case. Our narrative begins with the Glatzel family, Carl and Judy and their children, including their youngest son, David, who was just 11 years old. They were a normal, hard-working family, living in a new rented home, looking forward to a peaceful life in their quiet community. David was a seemingly happy, active boy, with no prior history of behavioral problems or mental illness. He was an ordinary child, utterly unprepared for the extraordinary terror that would soon invade his life. The first signs of the haunting began subtly, almost innocuously, in the summer of 1980. David started claiming he saw an old man with large black eyes staring at him from around the house. He said the man would whisper threats, telling him to get out. The family initially dismissed these claims as vivid nightmares or a child's overactive imagination, a common phase. But the occurrences quickly escalated beyond mere visions. Unexplained noises began to plague the home, disembodied scratching sounds, muffled thuds, and ominous growls seemed to emanate from empty rooms. Objects would shift or move on their own, subtly at first, then with increasing force. As days turned into weeks, David's torment became increasingly undeniable and horrifying. He began to exhibit physical manifestations of an unseen struggle. He would wake up with inexplicable scratches and bruises on his body, appearing without any clear source of injury. He spoke of being choked, of being dragged from his bed by invisible hands. His personality underwent a dramatic and disturbing transformation. The cheerful, active boy became withdrawn, sullen, then prone to violent outbursts. He would curse, blaspheme, and speak in guttural, unfamiliar voices that were entirely alien to his own. His once clear eyes would sometimes glaze over, becoming clouded with an unnatural malevolence. He claimed that the old man, or the entity, was now not just watching him, but actively tormenting him, sometimes even forcing him to utter words he didn't want to say. The Glatzel family, devout Catholics, quickly recognized that David was suffering from something far beyond a mere illness. They turned to their local church for help, but it became clear that this was no ordinary spiritual affliction. Their desperate pleas eventually reached the ears of Ed and Lorraine Warren, the world-renowned paranormal investigators. By this time, the Warrens had already built a formidable reputation for their work on numerous high-profile cases, lending significant weight to any case they chose to pursue. The Warrens arrived at the Glatzel home in Brookfield and immediately began their extensive investigation. Lorraine Warren, a self-proclaimed clairvoyant, asserted that she perceived a truly powerful, ancient demonic presence within the house, intensely focused on tormenting David. Ed Warren, drawing on his vast experience with demonic infestations, observed David's physical contortions, his guttural utterances, his aversion to religious objects, and the inexplicable physical phenomena occurring around him. The Warrens unequivocally concluded that David Glatzel was truly suffering from a full-blown demonic possession, not by one entity, but by multiple malevolent spirits. What followed was a harrowing and intense series of exorcism attempts on young David. Multiple Catholic priests were involved in these grueling rites, overseen by the Warrens. The sessions were often conducted in the Glatzel home, the atmosphere thick with dread and the clash of spiritual forces. David's small body would convulse violently, requiring several adults to restrain him. He would thrash, scream, and his voice would shift, sometimes speaking in Latin or other foreign languages he had never learned. The alleged demons speaking through David would reveal their names, a horrifying litany that included Legion and other specific entities tied to historical evil. The struggle was relentless, exhausting for everyone involved, yet the demons seemed stubbornly entrenched. It was during one of these particularly brutal exorcism sessions, in the frantic attempts to free David from his tormentors, that a fateful and terrifying decision was made. Anna Cheyenne Johnson, Debbie Glatzel's fiancé, who lived with the family and had witnessed David's terrifying ordeal firsthand, became overwhelmed by the boy's suffering. In a desperate and perhaps foolish act of compassion, Arne reportedly challenged the demons possessing David. He loudly commanded, "Leave him alone and come into me. Take me on." It was a spontaneous, rash plea, intended to spare the young boy further agony. The Warrens, present at the time, later recounted, desperately warning Arne against such a dangerous invocation, but their warnings, it seemed, came too late. The demonic entity, they believed, had accepted his offer. For a brief, precious period, David Glatzel seemed to find peace. The terrifying manifestations around him subsided. The demonic voices ceased. He appeared to be liberated. But the apparent calm was short-lived, for the nightmare had merely found a new host. Almost immediately, Arne Johnson's behavior began to change. He experienced unexplained mood swings, bouts of uncontrollable rage, and a profound sense of despair. He began to hear voices, whispers in his head, telling him to do terrible things. He claimed to see a monstrous, red-eyed beast that would torment him. He would growl, snarl, and exhibit behaviors eerily similar to David's earlier torment. The Warrens, recognizing the horrifying signs of demonic transference, warned Arne and the Glatzels that the demon had indeed leapt from David into Arne. The terrifying escalation culminated on February 16th, 1981. Arne Johnson and his fiancée Debbie, along with Debbie's cousin Alan Bono, were at the Glatzels' dog kennels in Brookfield. Tensions were high, fueled by hours of heavy drinking by Bono, and what Arne later claimed was the incessant internal torment from the demonic entity within him. An argument erupted between Arne and Alan Bono. In a moment of explosive, inexplicable violence, Arne Johnson, allegedly consumed by the demonic presence, stabbed Alan Bono multiple times with a 5-inch pocket knife, killing him. Upon his arrest, Arne Johnson's defense lawyer, Martin Minella, working closely with Ed and Lorraine Warren, announced an unprecedented legal strategy: not guilty by reason of demonic possession. It was the first time in U.S. history that such a defense had been formally presented in a court of law arguing that Arne was not acting of his own free will, but as an unwilling puppet for a malevolent entity. The trial became a media sensation, dubbed the Devil Made Me Do It case, pitting legal precedent against supernatural claims. While the judge ultimately ruled the demonic possession defense inadmissible in court, the jury, undeniably influenced by the bizarre claims and evidence, found Arne guilty not of murder, but of first-degree manslaughter. He was sentenced to 10 to 20 years in prison, serving 5. The case of David Glatzel and Arne Johnson remains one of the most chilling and controversial true-life paranormal accounts. For believers, it stands as powerful evidence of actual demonic possession and the terrifying concept of demonic transference, that evil, once invited, can spread like a contagion, claiming one host after another. For skeptics, it is a tragic story of severe mental illness, possibly a shared psychosis, exacerbated by suggestibility and the stress of a highly emotional religious environment, tragically culminating in violence. The harrowing events surrounding David Glatzel's possession and the subsequent murder committed by Arne Johnson directly inspired William Peter Blatty's screenplay for The Exorcist III, and more recently, the major motion picture, The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It. But while Hollywood dramatizes, the raw, unsettling questions of the original case persist. What truly afflicted David Glatzel in 1980? Was he a boy genuinely tormented by pure evil? And did that evil, in a terrifying act of transference, truly leap into Arne Johnson, driving him to commit an unspeakable act of violence? The terrifying implication is that evil can be a contagion, moving from host to host, leaving a trail of shattered lives and a chilling promise that the devil truly can make you do it. Until next time, when the whispers grow louder, good night.